With us now is RNZ Pacific's news editor, Koro Vakauta. Talofa, Koro.
Talofa, Lynn.
Let's start, I think we're starting and ending in Samoa, but let's start with the situation the Prime Minister of Samoa is in.
Well, he's been in the headlines regularly over the last couple of months, really. This is, of course, his Prime Minister, Tuila Epa Sailele Maleangawe. And he's been in power for a good 20 years and an MP for since 1980. So he must be doing something right. But he is quite a polarising figure and he is quite bold in some of his statements. And what's been happening, we spoke earlier to Catherine, that the government has been pushing through some constitutional amendments related to restructuring their judicial system. And long story short, it's basically creating another layer in the Lands and Titles Court. Obviously, in a lot of Pacific nations, land, and here in New Zealand as well, land's an issue, and the customary land ownership, and people go to this court to get decisions made over it. And in the past, if they have had a decision that they don't agree with, they've had to go to the Supreme Court. These amendments now make it that they'll have a separate system within the Lands and Titles Court. Now, New Zealand and Samoa's Law Society have spoken out against these changes. The basic gist of the opposition is that these appeals will go to customary experts rather than legal experts. But then to flip that around, proponents say, well, that's exactly it. It provides a customary answer to customary and cultural issues. But there are constitutional amendments that have been under fire, including from the founding fathers of Samoa. And Tuila Epa has been bold, and he said maybe their time's gone, and there's been some quite bitter words exchanged between all parties. He's told the New Zealand Law Society to keep out of Samoa's business. But the latest person to speak out has been a member of his own party. This, is, of course, is the HRRP party, who have dominated the Samoan political scene since 1982. Whamui Nga Wayne Fong, who sits in Faliata urban seat, he's a member of Tuila Epa's own party, and he's said, look, maybe we need to look at these constitutional reforms and listen to the public. Tuila Epa's actually had a meeting with him this week and told him, if you're not happy, if you're not going to support the caucus, then quit the party. And this comes off the back of him having a high-profile spat in Parliament with his deputy, Fiamme Naomi Mata'afa. So there are a lot of talking and discussion and debate about these amendments in Samoa.
Where does public sympathy lie, do you think, Koro?
Well, I guess there's a sign. I mean, there are people that support it. Of course, obviously, the former Attorney General, who's now based in New Zealand, he helped frame these changes. And as I said, they're talking about how this provides a customary and cultural answer to a customary and cultural problem. But most of the, I guess, public murmurings we've heard of being in opposition to this, and a sign, of course, was 2 weeks ago these changes were put before a parliamentary select committee. The meeting was greeted by over 100 protesters outside Parliament, many high-profile law figures there as well. This committee came outside to meet with them and actually promised that they would take these amendments out to the villages for consultation, and that eased the situation momentarily anyway. But then what we're seeing is that this week the Samoa Law Society's come out and said, well, hang on a minute, since they made that promise, nothing has actually happened. There's been no information forthcoming for the public, and even the whole basis of the consultations are going to be run by the select committee and the Law Society. They say that normally it's done by apolitical and neutral parties. So there's still a lot of debate and discussion around this.
How disruptive is this to the running of Samoa?
Well, as mentioned, Tuila Epa he never steps back from an argument or a debate. So there's often controversies and situations he finds himself in which are capturing the headlines. I think Samoa in general is keeping on, if you like. They've had no COVID-19 cases, so that's a good thing. They've had their restrictions in place over the last few months and have eased them over the recent weeks because, as I mentioned, they have no coronavirus cases. So they are working on juggling number of issues at the same time. But I guess this is just life normally for Samoan politics. It is quite out there.
Well, let's turn our attention then to Guam, since we're talking about COVID-19 cases. It had a lull, but what's happening there now?
Well, that's exactly it. A lot of confidence in Guam over the last few days and weeks. I guess as we've seen here in New Zealand with days where there had been no cases confirmed. In fact, for the whole month of May, there'd only been 8 cases in Guam. And that is actually after there had been one of the worst affected jurisdictions in the Pacific, apart from the US state of Hawaii. But on Wednesday, 64 samples were tested and 11 results came back positive, which was quite shocking for the local public. The governor's office came out and said, look, this is a reminder that the community needs to remain cautious. The press secretary said, and used these very words, stay home if you don't have to go out, stay home, stop the spread and save lives. So that those 11 positive results meant that Guam now has a confirmed tally of 165, which is a lot for a population of approximately 162,000 people.
Information on where those cases came from is really important after such a lull. It's something I think is on the mind of New Zealand as well. What can you tell us about that?
Well, exactly. That is the thing. Where did these 11 cases suddenly spring up from? And these do come off the back of easing of some of the local restrictions. Gatherings around Mother's Day, the governor's office eased restrictions and said gatherings could now go for more than 10 people. There was limited travel, but nevertheless travel was allowed between Guam and the Northern Marianas, which coincidentally had a case this week, bringing their tally to 22. And it's, as mentioned, it's the worst affected area in the Pacific outside of Hawaii, which had, I think, 643 cases and 17 deaths. But the governor's office said, this is on yesterday, they said that there were still profiles being constructed, contact tracing, and so they couldn't release too much information at the moment. They said that hopefully by the weekend they would be able to provide information of where these cases came from. For her part, the governor, Lu Leon Guerrero, had said, when easing restrictions, while congratulating locals, she did caution that they weren't out of the woods yet and had said that the big thing was avoiding a second wave. And I guess that's what people, countries all across the globe are hoping to avoid. And even here in New Zealand, we're kind of in that waiting or holding pattern. I think the Prime Minister called it a waiting room as well. So that's what people are fearful of.
Now, what happened to that COVID-19 stricken US warship that made the news?
Well, yeah, great point, because that has been in the headlines as well across the world. Those 165, just to be clear, those 165 cases confirmed in Guam do not include the hundreds of cases that came off the USS Theodore Roosevelt, which was a US aircraft carrier that spent a month docked in Guam. People may wonder why. Well, Guam's a US territory and it has military facilities there. And this stopped in late March, it was, after more than 1,000 sailors on board contracted the coronavirus. We can report that the ship left yesterday morning. However, it left with a scaled-back crew of about 3,000, leaving around 1,800 sailors still quarantined on Guam. So, as mentioned, those figures of 165 don't include the official figures from the Roosevelt. People may remember that this aircraft carrier came under a lot of scrutiny. The captain, the commander of the ship, actually issued a public letter saying to his superiors, look, we need to act to prevent my personnel, my sailors, dying. He was subsequently taken out of command by the US Navy Secretary of the time, Thomas Modley, who said he exercised poor judgment in making public comments. But then after that, Modley himself had to resign after receiving backlash from the public in Congress. So this ship has been in the news. It'll be interesting to see if this is the source of the 11 cases or not. In terms of numbers, the military has not been forthcoming in terms of exact case numbers and deaths and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a guessing game at this stage.
We've got a couple of minutes, Kōrero, to talk about Samoan Language Week. Starts this weekend. Busy times, but it mustn't be forgotten.
Exactly. It's interesting. You say busy times and strange times in this whole crazy coronavirus world we live in. People may remember last week was the Tumen Language Week. It was the first of 9 Pacific Language Weeks celebrated in New Zealand. And normally, as is the case with a lot of Pacific communities, these language weeks are marked with big church gatherings, with celebrations, with festivities, cultural occasions. And of course, in these kind of coronavirus restricted environments, that's not the case now. So a lot of things are going online. As you mentioned, it's Samoa's turn this time. Samoan is the third most spoken language in New Zealand, the second most in Auckland. So there's a lot of interest in this. We know there's around about 150,000 Samoans in New Zealand, and 2/3 of those Samoans are actually born in New Zealand. So there's kind of a language nest and a lot of effort being put in keeping the language alive for those New Zealand-born Samoans. And we remember a couple of budgets ago, the so-called wellbeing budget, the government put, I think it was $20 million into a language unit to promote Pacific languages. So that's pretty much where the focus is over the next week for Samoans in New Zealand.
There's an e-book coming out, I think, being launched next week, that's going to be looked at on 9 to Noon.
Yeah, it is a Wellington-based author, Dahlia. She's did children's books last year to mark the occasion, and this year, e-books. And as I mentioned, online kind of access is a big thing in this environment, so it should be interesting to look out for.
And saying goodbye in Samoan, koro?
Tō whā sui fua, that's goodbye.
Tō whā sui fua to you, koro. Thank you so much. That's RNZ Pacific's news editor, Koro Vaka Uta.